Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
How he's just so loving and caring. So as you get ready, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you today, God. We glorify your holy name, Father, because you are such a good, good Father to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in our lives, oh God. And as we come here, God, to hear from you, oh God, I pray, King of glory, Father, that your word will go forth, oh God. The same way, Jehovah God, you gave me this word, Father, let me be a clean pipe, oh God, that just delivers, oh King of glory, exactly what you want your people to hear, God. Father, I pray, Father, that you may take away any hindrance, oh God. And I pray, Jehovah God, that there will be soil, fertile soil, Lord. That Jehovah God, when we plant the seed today, God, that it will grow, Father, and bear fruits, Lord. Mighty King of glory, I praise you and I honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title for today's message is Reckless, Perfect Love of God. And so in order for us to really, really understand what that means, I just look at the definition first of what reckless is. So if you look at the dictionary, reckless means over personal action without thinking and caring about the consequences of an action. And then we also look at the word perfect. So perfect means absolute or complete. So if you ask, you're saying, hey, so this love that I'm talking about is careless, another word for reckless, and also it's perfect. That doesn't really make any sense, does it? So let me explain. So we've heard that Jesus died on the cross for us. And it's easy for us to qualify that in our own human thinking. When you think about, when we think about love, we think about, hey, how I love, we love each other, how I love food, how I love my pets, how I love, you know, the other human being. But we also take that same love that we love naturally, and then we put that as the same love for God, that God has for us. But it's totally different. Did I just go like 2 decibels up? So it's totally different. The way God loves us and the way we love stuff is different. And so we try to understand how Jesus died on the cross for us, how he was on the cross, and we try to think the same human sacrifice that we do every single day, or even some people who sacrifice where they lose their life, we try to group that as same as Christ. But it's not like that. When we think about it, it's Christ's love is totally different, and we're going to be able to look at different ways that it's different from us. So let's think about in us as human beings. In us as human beings, when we sacrifice, we are always looking for an immediate result. We are always looking for something that's going to fulfill us right there and then. If not that, if somebody told you you're going to sacrifice for something, then it never happens or it's going to be a delayed, and there is a possibility of it never happening. Guess what's going to happen? Usually you're going to be like, maybe I don't want to sacrifice. But God's sacrifice is different from that. See, everything that we do as human beings in some sense is because we can see it being tangible or fulfilling in our way. And that's not the case of the love that I speak today. Today I speak about the love of Christ. Christ's love, dying on the cross for a bunch of people who really don't listen to God. Continually, he pours out his love. We listen today, like we sang today. We listen today. We go back to sin. We are forgiven over and over every single day. But yet, he's still pouring out that love. See, to me, it's doing something in the human eyes when I look at it, where I think the Creator, you know, he's looking at it in the human eyes. We are like, why are you doing this? Why do you continue to do things? Because think about it. If I had a job that I'm doing and it's not benefiting people, or a friendship that I have and it's not benefiting people, people are going to be like, why do you continue doing that? Why are you continuing to do that? Why do you want to keep wasting your time doing the same thing, and this thing is never going to change? This person is never going to change. You are never going to get to that point. Why are you doing that?
But Christ's love is different, because regardless of how much or how many times he's pouring to us, no matter how much we refuse it, guess what? At the end of the day, he's still coming and still loving us. And that's why, to me, it doesn't make any sense. It's a reckless idea. But at the same time, because he's Christ, he has a perfect plan that at the end of the day, it's all going to work out together. Okay? See, I want you to understand today that this love, it's not the ordinary love that we have for each other. It's literally, you know, out of this world, right? I thought that was funny, but just me. You know, think about it. That God had the option of somebody who was in a kingdom, heaven. And I know that sometimes we think about heaven and it's like, yeah, you think about Disney, the happiest place in the world, right? But and we kind of translate to like, well, if Disney is up here, then heaven must be a little bit here, okay? Well, apart from a few people who's gone there, Steve, known what goes on there. Really, what we do is you think about God living that kingdom, which is such an amazing kingdom, and then he comes down here, he lays his life down for us in order to have a relationship with us. Well, he could create a whole new generation, and he gives us that love every single day. He has an option of destroying everybody and starting all over again, but he still loves us. That's a deep love. It is a love that is just beyond anything we've ever imagined, and we cannot really comprehend. We cannot even really put it together in the same level that we are. My goal today, as I learned, is God trying to show us that the love, how we see our love and how we see Christ's love, is totally different. It is the love that you have, but beyond that and much, much more. See, Paul in Ephesians 3:18 says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." So it says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand. So God is saying that you cannot get it in your head. You cannot just understand it. You have to experience the love of God in order for you to fully understand what that is. You have to receive that love of God, in order for you to fully understand it. Otherwise, if you try to do it with your mind, that's not going to happen. See, this is not only love at all. You think about it, it's love so great and yet so personal to you. Very, very personal. The Bible says that God calls you by your name. He calls you by your name. I don't know about you, but I have problem with, you know, people when I meet them. It's going to take me like 3 or 4 times. Hey, what's your name again? Dude, you know, something like that. But God knows exactly your name. He knows that. And I was looking at, like, the world in general. We have 7 billion people in the world, over 60,000 species of animals, 1 million species of insects, 300 species of plants, 1 species of human. And he knows you by name. He knows all those things, and yet you are very, very specific. He knows, he can number the hairs in your head. He loves you that much that even though he's occupied with all these things in the whole wide world, guess what? He knows your name. And if he knows your name, he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you've done. He knows the things that you're struggling with. He knows where you've been. He knows where you want to go. He knows all these things, and he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Yeah, see? Have you guys ever done some dumb, or stupid, for lack of a better word, when you're in love?
No.
No? So I'll give you a little bit of a story of, you know, when I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know, the one story that I can share, you know, among a bucket of others. And so when I was dating my wife, which, by the way, you know, the end of the story is I won the girl, so it works out, okay? Okay. So when I was dating my wife, at that time of my life, I was broke, okay? I'm talking about, like, there's broke and there is broke, okay? There was nothing going on in my life, okay? So she just moved from Texas, and she came over, and you know, when a new girl comes who's single and all the guys are like, yeah, she's beautiful and amazing. And I was like, I got to get her, right? I have to get her, right? So there was this place in San Jose called the Drive-In Movies. I don't know anybody, the younger generation don't know what drive-in is. So you get in your car, you drive, and instead of going to a theater and sitting there, you actually drive and you watch a movie. In your car, you tune into FM something, and, you know, you can be able to watch it. So this whole story about this is I knew, because from where I lived, Eva, who's my wife, lived an hour away. And then from an hour, then I would have to drive another hour to the movie theater. I only had enough gas. No kidding. I only had enough gas from where my house to Eva's house, from Eva's house to to the movie theater, and back to Eva's house. That was it. I only had no, but the other thing is I only had enough money for. I was a Christian still. the only other part was I only had enough money for the movie, you know. So I was so glad when we drove by and they, you know, you have to get out of the car and go buy food. So we didn't have to. So we just sat in the car and held hands and you know, you don't want to let go because you know you just love each other so much. So when we were getting back, I kind of made her pay for the gas for me to go home. But anyways, that's a whole new story for another day. So I'm a sales guy. Anywho, so but so I was thinking about this story here, and I was thinking, there is, at that point, I didn't really care about what was going on. I didn't care where I was going to sleep. I could have slept in the car. I didn't care what was going on. But I had so much for love for her. I just wanted her so much. I was in love with her so much that I just could not think. And so it's so easy for me, right? Because I didn't think about the consequences. But it's so easy for me to think that, you know, that's love. And it is love. I married her. She's an amazing girl. You know, but God's love is beyond that. You know? He says he sings for us. He sings to us. He loves us so deeply and he desires to have a good relationship. He wants to spend time with you. You know, he wants to go to a drive-in with you. I don't know. But he wants to spend so much time with you. And it's beyond just what we experience. But we have to understand that he just cares so much about you. He has so much love for you, right? See, when we try to think about love, we try to equate this Christ love with our feelings, how I feel. But yes, there are some feelings, but it's much, much more than that. See, Luke 15:3 says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man had 100 sheep and one of them got lost, what would he do? Wouldn't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and goes to search for the one that's lost until he finds it? Verse 7, in the same way, there is joy in heaven over one lost sheep who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So if the sheep are lost, and I want to paint you a picture because I want you to think about it. Jesus was giving a story about the olden time. Wealth, you know, somebody's wealth was calculated with how much sheep they had and goats and stuff like that, right? So this person who's a shepherd is out in the wilderness. He spent a whole day out there, you know, in the sun, feeding his sheep, right? And then he brings the sheep home, and this is not a city. He's not bringing the sheep to a city. He's bringing the sheep in the wilderness, right? And then he realizes that he's missing one sheep, right? So he goes and looks for those sheep, for that one sheep. And I know it's so easy to think, yeah, it's a sheep, it's a big deal. Well, let's make it into a modern scenario here. So let's think about it. You are in urban, right? Lower urban. So you've been working all day, so, so hard, right? And you have $100,000 in a bag. Okay? $100,000 in a bag. In urban. Yes. Lower urban, LA. Right? You take that $100,000 and you're going to take it home where you live in urban. And you realize that you've lost $1,000. What do you do? Do you leave the 99 on there and go look for 1,000? Would you do that? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I don't want to go for the one. I'm okay with 99. Yeah. Right? Right? And that's what I'm talking about. The love of God is reckless because it doesn't make sense in my mind. I don't want to leave my 99 in Auburn and go to the other side of Auburn to look for $1,000, right? But see, that's how we have to think about it. God's love says, you know what? I have 99 over here. I'm going to leave this 99. I'm going to go and I'm going to look for this one because I'm not going to be done until this one who's lost, I'm going to bring them back. See, and I was thinking about it, it's like, you know what? That one is worth it to God. Every part of it is worth it. And more you think about it, the more I thought about the 99, I'm like, God, why would you leave 99? Does that mean that we don't care about 99? But see, the body of Christ is a church. So what God does, he brings the 99 in here, in our church, so that we can minister to each other, we can grow together, the Holy Spirit can be together with us, and then he goes out and brings others. And that's why the church has to be in order, because when you bring down one, we don't want the church to look like the outside world, because God has been working all night, right, looking for that one. Amen? See, we're going to look at a story here in Ezekiel 37:9. I believe it goes to a little bit longer. So the Lord took hold of me. So this is Ezekiel. Ezekiel, he's been being shown a couple of things by God. And so I'm going to read from, it's a big book, but we're going to read from 37. And the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away in the spirit. I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground, and they were completely dried. Can you guys say completely dried up? Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living again? Can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, servant Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer." So Ezekiel, and we'll continue reading, Ezekiel is brought to this valley. The valley full of bones. This is where, in my assumption, it doesn't talk about it, but it's, you know, usually when they fought, like back in the days they would fight, then all the people who are dead, they would just be left there and you'll rot, right? So he's brought to these bones and God is saying, hey, can these bones be alive? Can they? Then he said to me, verse 4, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bone, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, look, I am going to put my breath in you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come alive. Then you will know that I'm Lord." So God is saying, he could speak, but he's telling Ezekiel, speak these words. And so Ezekiel, being obedient, which is good to be obedient when God says something, right? "So I spoke this message, just as he said. Suddenly I spoke, there was rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then the skin formed to cover the bodies, but there was still no breath in them." Can you guys say it's no breath? So he's speaking, and the muscles and the bones and all these things are coming together because, you know, he's obedient and God is there and he's commanding him to do something. But even though all these things were coming together, there was no breath, so they were not alive, right? Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four wind. Breathe into this body so they may live again." Again, on verse 10, his obedience says, "So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up in their feet. A great army." Verse 11. "Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel." Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, "We've become old, dry, all hope is gone. Our nation is finished." I'll repeat verse 11. Then he says, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of this world. These bones represent the people of Urban. These bones represent us," right? They are saying we become dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'll open the graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I'm Lord. I'll put my spirit in you. You will live again and return home to your land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. So he calls the wind, the breath of God, and he raises these bones, right? And I was thinking about this thing, and I'm thinking, Ezekiel is shown the board. And then my question will be, why are you messing with the bones, God? Why are you messing with that person, God? We've discarded him. He'll never change. He never listens to you. He never worships you, Lord. Why are you messing with the bone? You can create somebody else. And why are you being friends with that person? Why do you want them in your life? Forget them. You see how they talk? You see how they dress? Do you see how they look? Why are you messing with them, Lord? Why are you messing with them? See, this is a place where nobody goes. It's a place where it's dead. Just dead people out there. Nobody's over there except bones. But God is not done with these bones. He's not done with these bones. He's going there and he's not only speaking, but he's giving somebody who loves him and cares for him the power to prophesy, the power to speak over these things, the power to raise these bones, the power to get these bones start rattling, get some meat, some bones on there, and then the Spirit of God comes into them and they rise again, right? See, God doesn't care where they came from. He doesn't care where the bones came from. He doesn't care what time they died. He doesn't care what were the parameters around them dying. He just prophesied to all the bones. And as a church, are we really discarding people around? Are we looking at our brothers and deciding and choosing which bones we're going to speak life to? Are we thinking that, no, those are dead bones. I don't want to deal with that. God is not choosing. He's telling us, do not disregard any bones. You need to speak to all bones because I am the one who's giving you the word to speak. I am the one who's giving the breath at the end. Yes, you may do your work, which I'm telling you, but at the end of it, guess what? I am the one who's going to speak this into those bones. See, this is a forgotten valley. Nothing good comes out of it. And it's this place that God wants to show hope. That no matter how dead the place looks like, no matter how dead people look, no matter how messed up people are, no matter how bad they look, God has power to bring anything to life. I like the answer of Ezekiel when he was asked, he says, can these bones become alive? And he says, only you, Lord. Only you, Lord. He was honest. Because in his eyes, it could not make any sense. In his eyes, there was no way. Seriously, probably he was like, I know God, because if you read the, like from Ezekiel first all the way to 37, he's been shown a lot of things. But I know in his mind, he's like, I've seen a lot of things, but I really, Lord, I am not sure if you can do this. And that's the eyes that we look at different things. But like I say today, I want you to think about God's love in a whole different level. That he looks at bones and sees life. He looks at bones and sees somebody who can go and be an army. He looks at bones and sees life, man. He looks at bones and sees somebody who can worship him. He looks at bones and sees somebody who can preach the word of God. Yeah. He looks at bones, man, and he changes lives. See, I don't know how your life is. I don't know what you've been labeled, whether you've been labeled forgotten, like nobody cares for you or everybody dismisses you, or they think you are so far gone that there is no hope. But today, allow me to tell you that God is saying, if you are willing, I will resurrect those bones, those dead bones. Allow me to start putting your body together, muscle by muscle, flesh by flesh, skin by skin, and let me breathe into you. Is there something in your life that's dead today? Have you lost hope in any part of your life? Is there something in your house that has a stamp that says, this will never change? God is never going to change this. Is there something that you've been praying for every single day and God hasn't moved yet? Is it your kids? Is it your marriage? Is it your family? See, to the human eyes, it might not look possible. But in God's hands, he can resurrect those bones. See, this reckless, perfect love doesn't see how we see things. It sees who God created you to be. It sees that messed up person, the druggie who's pulling a cart. It looks at them and doesn't think, oh, look at them, oh, poor them. It looks them with love. It looks at that person with love. This love, God looks at them and says, I love that person. And I weep for them too. I weep for them every single day. The love that I poured out is not just for individuals who got their stuff together. It's for everybody. And much more for those who don't have their stuff together. And furthermore, who has their stuff together? I don't have my stuff together. I'm still trying to figure it out, right? See, what gets me on this is the blood of Jesus was shed while we were still sinners. Reckless. Can you guys say reckless? Because you think about it. God is coming and leaving his kingdom. And he's dying on the cross for us. And in the process of it, we are still sinning by putting him on the cross. But he's still going on with it. I wouldn't do that. I'll be like, okay, God, next angel, I'm going back to heaven. I'm done. But see, his love is so strong and so reckless because it doesn't make any sense. Yet it's perfect because he knew he was creating a perfect way for us to be reconciled to him. Right? See, I was talking to my another friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about the Bible verse about the dead bones. And she said something. She said, it is so easy for us to disregard people that, hey, that person will never get to, it will never be anything, or that person is never going to change. And he says, let me tell you something. See, Lazarus was dead. And we preach about that. We talk about that. Lazarus was dead for 3 days. He was thinking, right? And he was dead. And Jesus resurrected him. Now let's look at the verse we're talking about. These bones, if Lazarus was dead, these bones were dead, right? Right? But guess what? God is not just raising one person. He's raising an army. Okay? And so it's so easy for us to qualify things in our head and think, oh, God cannot do that. No, God, you know what? I can do this. I'll choose to do this. Okay, you, God, you do that. Or this little thing, I'm going to do it, and then you will carry from here. But God is saying, I have the power to resurrect dead bones. Okay? I have the power to do that. See, this evening God is saying, you may think that there's nothing good in you, that all hope is gone. But he is out looking for you, calling your name. See, the shepherd doesn't quite look for his sheep. When he's going out there and looking for the sheep, he's not like, hey, sheep, where are you? Hey, where are you? He's loud. He's calling his sheep loud. And all he needs you to do is answer. You just need to be quiet and listen because his voice is out there. The voice is calling you. He's calling you. He's saying, I need you. I'm not going to stop until it's 100% of my sheep that's out there. Or my time runs out. So you got a choice. You're going to answer when he's calling you. Or time is going to run out where he's still calling you out there. You know, I was thinking about this as I wrote this, and I have a dog called Zawadi. For another name for Zawadi is Gift. He's crazy if you know him, but... So I came home from work, and it was like about 8 o'clock or something, and he was outside. And I was looking for him, and I couldn't find him. I called him Zawad. Every time, by the time I get to the gate, he's jumping this high. And I'm like, I can't really find you. What happened to you? And so I go upstairs, and I'm panicking now. I grab my flashlight. I'm looking, and I'm calling Zawadi. And I'm thinking the neighbors are going to probably think I'm crazy. But I go ahead and call him, and I can't find him. And I kept calling him, and I called him, and I was like, just quiet. And I could hear him say, mm-mm. And he was high. What happened is he went behind the trash cans, and he couldn't get out. And I was thinking about this. It's like, if I didn't call him loud enough, would he have heard me? If I called him and I wasn't silent, would I have heard him? See, God is calling. He's calling, but we are so busy with our lives. We are so busy doing all this other stuff that God is calling every single day, but we are not hearing him because we are so busy. You know? Be quiet and be still. And I know if you haven't heard from God, it's because you're so busy. God is always talking. God is always calling. So when you are quiet and you listen to God, you hear his call. You hear his direction. You hear him telling you, come, I'm waiting for you. God is asking you, son of man, can these bones become living people again? And I like this part too. Then I watched, and the muscles, verse 8, then I watched, and the muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then the skin formed to cover the bones, but they had no breath in them. See, it's only the breath of Jesus that brings life together. That you can do all the things that you want. You can work as hard as you want. You can work as hard as you want. Whatever you're trying, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. But it's not until Jesus comes in your life that can come to life. Otherwise, it's just dead bones with muscles and flesh. It's not until you give your life to God completely that at that moment, then you will have life. You'll be able to stand up. You'll be able to be used by God. See, I made a lot of mistakes when I was young. I moved into this country about 20 years ago. And I made a lot of mistakes, man. I hang out with the wrong people I shouldn't have. I did things that I detest. I knew God, but I ran so far away from him for a very long time. But he didn't stop pursuing me, man. See, it was, to me, when I think about it, I already knew God and then I ran away. It was bad business for him trying to come and get me in my mental thinking. What? Why would I? You already know what's going on. Why would you want me and I've already run? How do you know that once you spend all that time bringing me together and putting me together that I'm not going to run away? It's bad business, right? But see, that's the love of Christ. He leaves 99 in church and goes for that one. And in this case, about 7 years ago, that was me, man. If somebody knows grace, man, it's me. Somebody knows that God can love you, can show you love, and it's not just words of love, it's an experience. It's an experience. Because I tell people a lot of the time, like, hey, listen, I can read the Bible and tell you what it's done. And I can even tell you about what other people are doing. And you know what? You can probably argue that with me. But when I sit down and I tell you what God has done in my life, it's a different story. Because that's a testimony. That no matter where I go, no matter what I do, no matter who comes in my life, they can never take that away from me. They can take away the Bible, they can take away notes, they can take away videos, they can take away all those things. But it's not until God comes in my life, when I tell them what I used to be, where I used to be, you know, what people said about me, what they thought about me, what I thought about myself. But yet God is loving, so loving, that he got that moment and took me and said, you know, Kevin, if you're quiet enough and hear my name, hear my call, I've been calling you. And I answered, you know. See, I don't fully understand why he did it. I see what he's doing in me. I see what he's doing in other people that God is touching. But see, he has a perfect plan. He has a perfect plan for you. It might not make any sense. And it will not, may probably not make any sense. But what it is once you are captured by the love of God and you answer, he brings you in a place where he starts working in your heart. He starts changing you slowly by slowly. He starts blessing your plans. He starts ordering your steps. He starts doing amazing things in your life. See, I am so glad that he was reckless with me, man. That he gave me a chance. He invested in me. And his perfect love put everything together in a beautiful way. Shall I play that music? Play that video? So I'm going to invite you guys out here as we continue, as we close. You know what's dead in your body. You know what's dead in your life. I'm going to open the altar for you guys to come out here. Talk to God, because he's calling. And if you haven't given your heart to God, man, this is the best time to do that. So take another 5 minutes, come over here. Just tell God, speak to God. Tell him, hey, I know there's this thing that is dead in my life. I know there's this thing that's not working in me. I know there's this thing that needs resurrection. And he'll speak to those bones. So come on, feel it as you feel, Eddie.